You don't look too good.
I'm fine.
Feeling misunderstood?
I'm fine.
Maybe you should get some sleep.
You're fine.
Move the podcast next week.
No!
Okay, well, here we go. It's time for I'm Fine with Davis and Milo.
Welcome, everybody, to I'm Fine with Davis and Milo. I'm Davis.
What up, fuckers? It's Milo.
All right, and your eyes aren't deceiving you. This is a big episode 50.
Oh, hey, number 50. Hawaii 50. And for this special, we went all the way down to Hawaii. Davis, show us some of that Hawaii magic. Yay.
Hey. Well, this is an audio podcast, but if you can hear there,
yeah, we got the waves in the background. We got sand. We got breaking glass. Because people are dropping their drinks because they're so happy. Mazel tov.
Yeah, it's great. Look, we got a beautiful beach. Apparently it's low tide. You can see there's like no water on the beach. It's actually gone out like 100
feet. Yeah, it actually looks like it's still going out. Wow.
Seems to be receding really, really far.
Well, you know what they say, Hawaii, more Hawaii sand, more Hawaii sun. You know what I'm saying? It's like the groundhog where when he sees shadow, it's sun all the time.
I like it. Milo, would you wake me up if the water receded to the point where maybe show some concern?
Nah, he's sleeping. Just let him sleep. He needs this.
All right, but yeah, this is episode 50, and we have tons. We got movies mostly is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it's mainly a movie cast today because we finally got caught up and we've seen a few movies. Still not National Treasure.
I've seen it.
I know Davis has. I still haven't gone to it. Work has been crazy because a certain movie came out that kind of screwed up everything.
Well, let's talk real quick. Let's talk about emotional stuff. Milo, how have you been?
And that's pretty much it. Davis, how have you been?
I haven't told many people, but I'm currently on the job hunt. I quit the theater a couple weeks ago.
Hey, I want to be doing that, but I can't.
It was mostly like I've saved up not a lot but enough to be all right for a bit, but
a good oil baron's fortune,
like enough where if you found it in a bank outside of a store, you'd be like, hey, and they'd kiss it. But like I just kind of wanted to get back into film stuff, so I'm just applying for other places. And I mean, it was minimum wage, and I knew if I took the assistant manager thing, I would never leave, just because that's what kind of piece of shit I am.
Wow.
I've like a real trouble telling people like, nah, I'm gone. So I was just like, I just have to do it just kind of spontaneously, or else I'll just never go.
I feel that.
Which I don't know. That's more, Milo, that's not a diss on you. You're making bank, and
I'm making bank, but I'm also falling into that trap of like, man, if I want, like, I'm gonna have to take a step back if I do get another job, because chances are they're not gonna pay me the same as what I'm getting paid right now. Oh boy,
are you getting paid pretty well though, or as a assistant manager?
Not to get into financials, but the managers of this company that we used to work for,
yeah,
or that you used to work for, and I still work for,
yeah,
pays managers $2 above minimum wage.
I guess I heard that. Okay, so like, just for like perspective, Andrew, who I don't think has been on the podcast, he's been on the Inkwell podcast. He lives with Dalton and Lizzie. But he sent me like a job application. He works in the IT department at a casino.
Ooh, casinos.
He sent me a job thing. It's $15 an hour to staple together bingo packets for bingo night.
Hell yeah, do that.
Just for me, I was like, 15, are you kidding? $15 an hour for, okay.
Casino workers make bank.
And I'm getting minimum. So I was just like, what?
What the fuck?
So I'm broadening my horizons. I'm also kind of just, I am just kind of laxing, becoming part of the couch, trying to read a bit more in between application filing. So
I'm still on that job hunt while I have a job.
Hey, everybody out there, if you want to give us a job, please.
Hey, we got this podcast for 50 episodes. That shows dedication and perseverance.
Except for all the episodes that we just kind of skipped. And all the times we talk about canceling the podcast.
No one knows about those because we didn't record those. So, ha, 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 jokes on them.
Anyways, it's good though, Milo. I'm happy you're happy.
Yeah.
I hope.
And I'm happy you're,
trying to be happy.
Trying to be happy, I guess.
I'll get there. It's just gonna take...
Now I'm more depressed because, like, you managed to leave before I did.
I've done it so many times where, like, between my, like, low self-esteem and, like, depression... Where I'm just like, I can't, you know, these people are really nice. I can't leave because they're so nice, and it would bum them out. And it, a lot of people were really mad when I left. One guy in particular was mad that I was leaving before Avengers season.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You definitely didn't make any friends there.
No. Well, I made a couple friends there. Well, not really. I don't talk to any of them anymore. So, yeah, whatever.
But speaking of Avengers.
Yeah. Let's talk about Isle of Dogs.
Yeah. So this is, as we said, this is going to be sort of like a movie cast where we're going to kind of catch up on some movies and then finish it off with some sweet, sweet Marvel. But before that, we got two movies to talk about. We've both seen, at this point, Isle of Dogs, the new Wes Anderson flick, and A Quiet Place, which is a really quiet movie.
I really liked Red Letter Media's review, because they said, it's funny it's called A Quiet Place, because a theater never is.
Yeah.
And they're right.
Oh my god, yeah, they are. How did you end up seeing it, Davis? Like, how packed was your theater?
Wait, for A Quiet Place, or?
Yeah.
Me and my sister saw it on 420, just because that's the day she had off. And I was like, well.
Yeah, bruh.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we went and saw Super Troopers 2. No, of course we didn't.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, we just wanted to go see it. And there was a group of kids who I'm not sure if they didn't. They thought it was the kind of group that I suspected should have gone to go see Truth or Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's more of like a loud child's movie.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
Because you can be texting and yelling the whole time. And it's like, yeah, because this movie sucks. But this one, I was like legitimately like, hey, everybody get quiet. I kind of want to zoom in a little bit. But a manager did come in and then I think stared at them until they all got quiet and then left.
Nice. Were they the only other people in the theater, or was it also more of a packed house?
It was like a week after it came out, I think.
Okay.
I think. So it was relatively it was a decent crowd. I was there was enough room to spread out. And how did you see it?
Oh boy. I think I saw it, I want to say, the weekend it came out.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I saw it with like five other people. We all went to go see it and we sat down, and honestly, the theater was pretty great. It was a packed house, but everyone was super into not saying anything, and they were being really quiet, except there was a group that was sitting in the very front row right in front of the screen. And this one dude in their group just kept like, I don't know what it was. They waited until like it started getting tense. Oh, and spoilers for Quiet Place. But right around where Emily Blunt is trying to keep quiet because the monster's in the house and she's like in the basement. I don't know what it was, but this guy decided that that was the time, and he just started talking during, like, not loud, but enough where the whole theater could hear him.
Why?
I don't know. And one of my friends said afterwards that he could see them passing, like, bottles in between each other. So the assumption was that they were super drunk. But yeah, this guy was just talking, and he was like, she's gonna get fucking killed, like stuff like that, where, and it was supposed to be during the very like quiet moments. Also, someone like there was a scene where Emily Blunt's looking over the shelving unit trying to find like I think a timer or something, and someone's phone went off once, and it was the weirdest thing because it was at the right level where I swear I thought it was inside the movie, but instead it was just some asshole.
I really can't get over, like, it's a movie called A Quiet Place. Everybody knows the hook is nobody really talks. Like, maybe don't go see it if you think you're going to be loud. Like,
yeah. And because it's A Quiet Place, I felt like that changed the sort of like dynamic, where a lot of people, I'm sure, in that theater would have been the types of people to leave the theater, find a manager, tell them about the people, and then like make sure that the manager took care of it. But because doing that would create more of a commotion, which would ruin the movie even more, I feel like people were just like, him talking is better than what's going to happen when the manager comes in and tries to get them out of the middle of the row.
It sounds like this. I wish I had the strength to just yell at people.
Yeah, but, and I felt like there was plenty of, well, my friend that I was with, or one of my friends, actually threw like candy at him and actually nailed his seat, and which was like, thank God. But he shut up for a bit, and then he started talking again, and he threw another candy at him, and I kind of lost track because he did fall silent for the last third of the movie, I want to say.
I don't know if I third. Well, you probably just fell asleep.
I hope.
But overall, what did you? I mean, it's an interesting movie because it's definitely it's a film, but also it's the theater going experience or like what environment you see it in.
Mm-hmm.
That really impacts how impressive the gimmick of the film is.
Yeah, I really like this film, though there is a lot of things that definitely need work. A lot of logic flaws that, when you look at them afterwards, don't make sense.
There were a couple as I was watching where I was like, oh, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Like, isn't there a better way to do this?
No, yeah. Like, there was a couple, but I'm the type of person who I'm into a movie and I don't really think until afterwards where I'm not, like, distracted with the movie.
Gotcha.
Because I know that if I just, like, if I were to pick apart a movie as it was going along, then I would hate it. And so I need to, like, go in, not think about it, and then just return to it later.
Oh, for me, it's more like, if it's good enough for me to get sucked in, not think about it, then it accomplishes it. But, like, if I just kind of falter, if it, like, loses me for, like, a second.
Then it's a failure of a movie.
Kinda.
But, no, yeah, there were some logic flaws in it, and I thought the performances were great. I thought it was a good, solid movie. I don't think it was as great as people were hoping it would be. But I do think for a first-time directing, John Krasinski did a great job, especially since he was both behind and in front of the camera.
It was funny you brought that up because that was like the first thing I said after the movie was over. So I was like, wow, I really thought it was going to be better.
No, yeah, I think like a lot of, like, it's only afterward where you realize, well, why don't they live by the waterfall? Or why why don't they just live underground? Or why don't they kill the kids? Because, like, that seems to be the moral of the story. If you have children, you don't want to.
That's what I thought was, because they had to explain quickly, like, okay, once she has the baby, you gotta gas the baby and then put it in a coffin. They were like, just real quickly.
No, I initially thought that was, like, what they were gonna do, where they were gonna just, like, fucking gas the baby, put him in the coffin, and then bury it. But I realized that it was a source of oxygen because the box that it was in was soundproof, which meant that no air or ventilation could be in it. Otherwise, it would make noise.
I got that it was a vaguely, you know, kind of a soundproof box. But I think one of the big logic flaws, they explain that there's a soundproof room in the house. At what point I'm like, just stay there.
Yeah, but then I was like, well, it's not really a good room if water can make it in somehow.
That was the thing, was we were like, where's all this water coming from? And also, why did it take so long before, like, because it showed it broke when the monster attacked, but it didn't start flooding in until after John Krasinski leaves. And I was like, wait, but shouldn't it just been filling up like the whole time they were talking? Whatever. But look, it was an hour and a half. It was really cheap and it was really impressive. I liked it.
Again, like, John Krasinski, good job for your first time directing and acting. The cast was great, even though the kids were, like, the weakest part.
I mean, the kids are the weakest part of, like, any film.
Yeah, though I will say the deaf actress who starred, she did a good job. I just wish that they had written her character better.
Yeah.
Like, because I felt like she, like, her main, like, character was just very aggressive and hostile and not cooperative with anything in this world where, like, you need to be cooperative.
There is a lot of that, like, oh, I guess she's just an angsty teen, but also it's like, come on, guys. Guys.
Like, okay, you can be an angsty teen when we're not going to die. Like, you can do that.
Just do it lighter.
Just do it, yeah. I think that's the one thing that I dislike about children and on screen. It's most of them can perform pretty well. It's just that they're written poorly because they're written in the with the sort of idea that they're either incompetent, that they're going through mood swings, or they just don't understand the logic of the world, even though they've definitely lived in the world long enough to understand what's going on.
Yeah, I would say that. Plus, I don't know, kids are, they are flawed, I would say, but they're flawed in like a different way. Not necessarily like they're just really stupid, but it's like they just don't know how to control this as easily. Like, your movie sucks always brings up like more kids should just be crying in films. And I was like, yeah, they should. Kids cry all the time for everything.
Yeah.
My biggest logic flaw, I really don't like the monsters.
Ooh, I love the monsters.
Okay.
Though, I wish they were more flashier.
For me, it's because they have one big magic flaw, and it's that they're the loudest thing in the world, and they're also trying to listen really closely.
That is true.
Because they're like, I gotta find Emily Blunt, and he just like starts throwing things all over the room. He's like, she's gotta be in here somewhere, even though I can't see, and I'm actually making it harder for me to hear her.
And then, because of that, no other monsters come until Emily Blunt fires a shotgun, and then it's just like, wait a minute, they should have been here earlier killing the other monster.
Yeah, how do monsters not run into other monsters, go like, oh wait, oh I'm sorry dude, and then...
Like their inherent skill, it's like a built-in like self-destruct sequence, honestly. Like how did they fucking like survive this long?
That's why I had one tweak that I thought would have made the movie 1,000 times more interesting, and I was like, it would have been cool if the monsters made no noise, and that's how they're able to listen for everything.
Like even if they like... destroyed some part of the environment that made no noise.
Oh no, I was just thinking like them running through the forest, like you cannot hear them. They're just you don't see them and then they're there.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would have been dope. That would
have been kind of interesting. But I mean, as it is, like I said, short, cheap film. Really good job.
Mm-hmm. I'd give this one a 7 and or an 8 out of 10.
I would give it a 6 out of 10. Because I'm an asshole.
Now on to the next one, which is Isle of Dogs.
Did you say I love dogs?
I said Isle of Dogs.
This is the, what is this? This is the second animated feature from Wes Anderson.
It's second stop motion animated feature, to be specific.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I loved it.
This is kind of how I thought it would go.
Yeah, I loved it. Davis hated it. Davis is wrong.
There you go.
That's... No, yeah, I really loved it. I loved the sort... It's Wes Anderson, and he does, like... For me, at least, he does great things every time. And I felt like this one was very much, like... It was just as witty and just as, like, clever as I thought it was gonna be. And I've been such a fan of stop-motion animation in film.
Well, I would say that's the thing, is because the stop-motion in the film is, like, fantastic. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's really incredible. I love that part. It was just kind of everything else.
I mean, to like, approach it critically, the story is pretty basic. There's not too many, like, hills or valleys. It's very kind of, like, it's kind of flat. I feel like the characters kind of, like, prop up the film story a lot more than a lot of people realize.
I would say the problem for me is that there's a lot of characters and not many of them are very interesting.
I thought the characters were really interesting. I just think that they didn't spend enough time on the characters.
Well, Milo,
to like,
didn't you love Tilda Swinton as Pug Who Watches TV?
Yes, I absolutely did.
Isn't it great they brought her into a studio for like 3 lines?
Heck yeah.
It was just small stuff like that where I was like, oh, this is a big cast. I bet there's going to be a lot. Oh, no, not really. It's just Jeff Goldblum says something in his Jeff Goldblum voice. And you're like, oh, that's Jeff Goldblum.
God, it's so good. It's such a good movie. The music, I will say, is one of my favorite parts.
I did really like the music, too.
The music was done by Alexandre Desplat, who would definitely have been either coming off of or going into his recordings or creation of the Shape of Water soundtrack.
He did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I definitely think that there was like tones of Shape of Water in this soundtrack too, like listening to it alone.
But I just can't get over the story is, as I'm gonna pardon my French, it's dog shit.
Get it? Because it's about dogs.
Well, not even like the overall story. I mean, like, there's a bunch of kind of subplots that happen and then instantly go away and they don't really have like a payoff.
I think one of the issues with the fact that they went stop motion animation is that they basically put a limit on how long the film has to be from the get-go. Like, they can't film and then like assemble like the last, like everything has to be planned out and everything has to be timed out correctly.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's a problem with stop motion animation, because I think like a lot of Laika's work, like Kubo and the Two Strings, that suffered from that sort of things where there was a lot of subplots that kind of just went away. And I think it's just a time constraint issue with stop motion animation that keeps having that pop up every now and then.
But like, I feel like Laika also does it better.
Laika does, because they like their whole studio is about like, we're stop motion animation, that's it. Whereas like, Wes Anderson doesn't have a studio that, like, he didn't go to Laika and said, hey, I want you to help make this movie.
I almost feel like he kind of should have.
Honestly, I was expecting it. Like, I thought that he would have looked at Laika and been like, okay, let's try this. Though, I will say, I guess that would have gone against sort of like his animation style, because Laika is very much like, they don't really do too much with furred characters, and like Wes Anderson's characters in stop motion have been very much like, they look like they are taxidermied.
I'm sure they could have figured it out.
Honestly, like, Wes Anderson, come on. I want a remake now.
But just like, when it's an hour and a half long, and they're like, yeah, the pre-planning on this, I can't even imagine, because like, you can't bring in people to say like, oh, let's redo the shot that took 3 days to make. Like, you can't, like, so you have to have planned out in advance. So I'm just like, this tight should have been like super, like this script should have been super tight and like really good. And I just feel like for all the effort put into it, it was okay. And that like really starts to hurt it.
I really liked it.
Well, that's good, Milo. Enjoy it then.
Yeah, 8 out of 10.
Why don't you go home and start a relationship with somebody, you freaking norm.
You freaking norm of the north.
Oh my, now we are talking about animation. Now that's a good story, all right? Polar bear is cold, then he goes to a dairy where it's not as cold. That's comedy.
And his name is Norm.
I would give it a 4 out of 10 for Isla Dogs.
Wow. You're a bitch. Get it? Because that's a man.
I think it's time for the main event.
Yeah, the main ding ding ding. It's the main event. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ring.
We're talking about the movie that if you haven't seen, you're already behind.
Yeah. So we've hit Marvel time. So before we get into this full like spoiler review of Infinity War. Hey, Davis.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about what our favorite movie or movies was of the 14 films leading up to this movie over the last 10 years?
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is my favorite Marvel film, seconded by Winter Soldier.
Ooh, I dig that. I dig that. For me, it's probably a tie. God, it's actually a, like, Winter Soldier's up there. Guardians of the Galaxy... Guardians of the Galaxy 1. No, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I really like 2 more than 1, but that's I know a lot of people don't share that sentiment.
Yeah, I think it's like 2 is above 1 just because they do a lot more with character, which I like.
And visually, I would say.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. No, yeah, it's definitely 2 now. I just remembered the whole like the scene where Yondu and Rocket jump to Ego.
Yeah, it's fun.
So it's Winter Soldier up there with Guardians of the Galaxy Vol. 2 and Thor Ragnarok.
I was really hoping you'd have like the shit tier where you'd be like, oh, it's got to be Thor 2, maybe tied with Ant-Man, you know? I'd just be like, oh my god.
Thor 2 up there with
Iron Man 3,
Spider-Man 1,
The Amazing Spider-Man, if I can include that one, thank you.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And Catwoman. No way, she was DC. What's her Fantastic Four, Josh Trank version?
Oh yeah, yeah, my favorite. Jesus.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
You know, for the 18 films in 10 years, I feel like you could have cut out.
I thought it was 14 films.
No, it was 18.
Oh damn.
And then Infinity War is the 19th, I think, technically. In the MCU official whatever.
They almost did 20 films in 10 years. Come on, Marvel. Why can't you hire us?
Seeing Infinity War, I was like, I really think you could have cut out the Doctor Strange movie. I thought the Doctor Strange movie was all right. I kind of liked it, but I don't think it was necessary. His kind of scene in Thor, like, I think that's enough.
Yeah, I do think, like, either that's enough or they tied him into one of the previous Avengers. Like, honestly, Age of Ultron probably would have been better if they had just taken the plot line from Doctor Strange and instead of doing Ultron, just did that and then had, like, Doctor Strange enter without really the origin story needed and just kind of be like, okay, we've got to figure this out. Or, like, even if the Avengers were working with him as he was, like, learning about his powers.
And then, like, I really liked Spider-Man Homecoming, but also it's like you don't really need that one either. Like the stuff you get from Civil War, like I think that's pretty much all you need.
I think it's very easy to see how like Spider-Man Homecoming only existed because Marvel got the license back for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely one of the ones that's like the most unneeded because of the fact that like the time frame of that movie and how it relates to everything else is very out of whack.
A little bit, because yeah, you're like, wait, so this is before?
It's after Civil War, but where exactly is this before?
Is this happening as Doctor Strange is getting trained? Is Peter Parker fighting the Vulture? Is that?
Yeah, like is that? Yeah, and so it's very much like it's definitely the one that's most superfluous. Like it's a great film. It's just in the whole game plan of Marvel, they probably could have been fine with just doing the like Civil War introduction.
I was thinking about that too, because some people were, I don't know, my sisters were complaining like, oh, I got to watch all these films in order for Infinity War. And I was like, you really just need to see Civil War and then just kind of the end of Thor Ragnarok, just so you know how that movie ends. Like, that's really all you need.
Honestly, you could probably get away with seeing just the all the Avengers movies.
I don't even think you need to see, like, I think you need to see the first one. You could probably skip Age of Ultron, honestly.
I think you need to see the second one, because that's where they introduce, like, some characters that stick around.
Eh.
And it sets up why Hulk is gone. And then Thor Ragnarok, and that's about it. Like, three movies, really.
Pretty much. And then, like I said, you don't even need to see... You just need to know how Thor Ragnarok ends, because that's exactly where Infinity War starts.
Oh, wait, no. First Avengers, Second Avengers, Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok.
Again, I don't even know if you need to see Black Panther.
No, not Black Panther. Civil War. Civil War, that's what I meant. Yeah, because,
it's,
like...
It's still weird to me that Civil War was Captain America 3 and not just, like, Avengers 2.5.
Like, I think... it's basically Avengers 2.5 because it's not as epic as destroying a whole city. It's just destroying an airport.
But it's pretty interesting in the, I don't know, in the kind of emotion it set up, which I was like, that was nice to see. Anyways, you know what? I think we're ready to jump into it, though.
I think we're ready. Avengers... Infinity War.
Let me start with the metagame. So this one's directed by the Russo brothers, who did Civil War and the Winter Soldier, and that put a big load off my mind. Like, I almost felt like raising expectations.
Honestly, like, I didn't realize that until like a few weeks ago, and I was like, I feel a lot better about where this film is gonna go, because Civil War, pretty good.
Age of Ultron was like a fucking mess, and it had less characters, and you're like, how they got even more in this one?
How the hell? And then it was like, oh yeah, we got the guys who directed probably the two of the best Marvel films to do this one. And I was like, okay, yeah. Okay, I can see where they're going.
We should start with the little non-spoiler stuff, and then I said like we should only talk spoilers for like 5 minutes, and we'll have to just scream everything right then.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about non-spoilery stuff. Milo, what did you think of the 10-year trip to Marvel Infinity War?
The 10-year trip was well worth... It wasn't. I hate that I had to wait 10 years for this. And I will. There will be another 10 years over on the other side before something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I thought Avengers Infinity War was a really good film. I felt it suffered a lot because like they had to spend time getting everyone everywhere in the first 30.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so, like, the first 30 to 45, maybe if I was being, like, generous, the first hour is very much... It's the weakest part, I would say, because of the fact that everyone's meeting everyone and getting together, even though they did do a good job of, like, kind of, like, tightening up how everyone introduces themselves to each other. Like, they don't waste too much time kind of going over like, oh yeah, I'm this person and I did this and blah blah blah. They try to cover it by introducing them on jokes and stuff. And I'll say this is probably the weakest that I've seen the comedy in Marvel like in a while. A lot of the jokes kind of fell flat in my opinion. And yeah, the first like 45 is probably the weakest part of the movie, but after that, once it picks up and once the action starts going, oh boy, everything just like meshes together pretty well, I gotta say. The action sequences are better, but it's still kind of suffering from that weird sort of thing that Black Panther had where the CGI doesn't look as great as it should, which is weird. But all in all, I thought it was a really great movie. I thought everything they did with the characters was interesting. And yeah, Davis, what did you think? Did you hate it?
I loved it.
Yay.
See, I can enjoy things.
I enjoyed it so much I quit my job.
I think you're right about the first half hour, but I would say I did like that. They do kind of joke about things, but in a way that makes sense, because it's like, it starts off and there's like the Hulk and he gets reintroduced and he's like, what the fuck happened? And Iron Man's saying like, oh yeah, the Avengers are a thing. He's like, what, why? And then they're like, oh yeah, all this shit happened in like the last 3 years.
No, yeah, that's great. Like the catching up, like of people, like, or Hulk getting caught up. That's a great, I think it was more of like the jokes where it was sort of like, they had like Thor with Guardians of the Galaxy coming off of where Thor had a comedy element that, in my mind, exceeded where Guardians of the Galaxy went. And it was just sort of like, because those were two different levels of comedy there, the jokes fell flat just because they didn't translate well.
Whereas I was like, I did like those jokes, though. I thought I chuckled a lot.
Yeah, I did chuckle. I just thought that there was, like, the ratio to landed jokes to flat jokes was favoring the flat joke side.
Well, now you know how I felt during Ragnarok. I watched Ragnarok with my parents yesterday, by the way, and two laughs. And I was like, yeah, exactly. See, now you know where I get my, like, yeah, I'm not laughing at this.
my name's Korg. I'm made of rocks.
He's made out of rocks.
Don't let my appearance intimidate you.
Oh. His voice is very quiet, but his body is very large.
Honestly, Korg is a hilarious character.
I didn't like him.
Speaking of all the characters in Thor Ragnarok.
No, we're not going to get into spoilers. We're just still talking about tertiary things.
Okay, yeah.
So one of the things I also kept thinking was, I don't think you could have done this better with how many actors they have and how much time is going on. Like,
yeah, true,
I was
true.
Like, I was like, I can't see that. I don't know any director that could have pulled this off as well as they did. Not to say they did a perfect
Wes
job.
Anderson.
But not to say it was like perfect, but like it's like defusing a bomb. Like they got to do it so minutely and in a specific way.
It's probably the most perfect they could have made it with what they had to work with.
Riddler Media also in their review had a nice moment where they said like it's because they all stay separate in like a bunch of B stories, because like if you put all 40 of them like on a screen, you're gonna want to vomit. Like it's too much. It's
oh yeah, that's true. Like all of them kind of stay separate, and then like,
and it's like Thor's over there, Guardians are over there, like they're all in the, it's like going to Disneyland and everyone's in their different worlds. And I was like, you know what, I didn't even realize that till later, but that was smart to do that.
Oh yeah, especially because like there are groups of characters in this film that never interact like with another group of characters, like
oh yeah, there's a lot of characters that like don't meet other characters, which again I'm like, when you have this many people, like that makes sense. Anyways, we should do spoilers for like 5 minutes.
Okay,
I'm gonna set up a timer.
Okay, set up a timer. So the next 5 minutes of the podcast, when Davis calls it, are going to be spoilers for Infinity War. It's going to be just balls out discussion of.
Yeah.
Just...
So starting from, let's say, when I say go, just skip 5 minutes ahead in the podcast and it'll be all right.
If you don't want spoilers, if you're down with spoilers, then stick through, because we're just going to try to rapid fire through spoilers.
All right.
Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
In time, you will know what it's like to lose. Feel so desperately that you're right, yet to fail all the same.
Okay, fucking Thor Ragnarok set up all these characters and then they all get gat like
Mile,
in the first.
That's why not liking Thor Ragnarok, I love this opening.
Well,
because it starts here, with everybody from Thor Ragnarok dies.
See, no, I was like, I knew that they were gonna destroy, but I don't really even have a problem with them dying. I have a problem with the fact that there's one character in particular that is nowhere to be seen, and I can't remember if I saw her dead body, and that's Valkyrie.
Oh yeah, I was looking around too, and I was like, is that Valkyrie? I don't know. So there's a chance, because I think that's the weird part. They keep saying I only killed half of the Asgardians. But I'm like, where's the other half?
Where's the other half? I mean, and there is the like ship that Gamora's sister escaped from.
That maybe they were abducted from there before he decided to kill all.
Maybe
them.
They're on there right now. But then like you throw in the whole ending, and it's just like, well, okay, I guess not.
Real strong opening, fucking killing Loki, and I appreciate that they joke about like, well, Loki's died before, but I think he might actually be dead this time. And I was like, nice.
No, yeah, he definitely looked very dead. I wanted them because I was nervous about how big this, like, the main cast was with, like, the number of superheroes. I was hoping that they would just be like, first half hour, we're gonna kill, like, off half the cast.
I was kind of hoping that too.
But they didn't. They saved that little thing for the last half hour. And I was like, okay.
Which we can talk about. This is the best ending of any Marvel film I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm sad that it's not gonna stick around, but you know what? I am glad that they did do this, because, oh boy.
Everyone's talking about the metagame of, like, well, what about, isn't there a Spider-Man movie for 2020? I'm like, of course they're coming back.
Yeah.
But, like, just as a visual, like, for a film like that, that's bold, man.
Especially for, like, Marvel, who plays it safe under Disney's, like, watch and, like, has never really made waves. Like,
the last 10 minutes is just people disintegrating from time.
And they're, like, important people, like, Spider-Man.
Dude, the biggest one is Black Panther's fucking dead.
Oh, yeah. They just released Black Panther, and then they're,
and I was
like,
his movie's still in the theaters next door. And yeah. He's dead.
People go from Black Panther into Infinity War expecting things to be good for him because he just had a movie, his first one. But no, like, I am so glad with how, like, they chose, like, because Black Panther dies, but M'Baku and his, like, head of the guard are still around.
Yeah, which they're still there.
Like, which is great, because then you're, like, isolating it down to, like, the main, like, a friend of mine actually, like, described it as only the original Avengers survive.
Oh yeah, plus it's just like Captain America, Iron Man, and then, like, some other people, but
Black Widow, Thor, Hulk.
Yeah, but you got the core group's still there,
and then you have Rocket, who watched Groot die, which is super great.
Oh yeah, all the Guardians are dead.
All the Guardians are dead except Rocket for some reason.
And then Nebula, who's on a planet that nobody knows how her and Iron Man are going to get off.
Yeah. Nebula and, oh my God, like, I honestly think, like, all of the, like, there's going to be so many characters in the next Avengers whenever they get to it that are going to be so jacked up from this. Like, Rocket's definitely going to be dealing with some PTSD, especially since he has no idea where the rest of his team is right now. Gamora's, like, she's a permadeath.
Yeah, I'm guessing she's permanently dead, because that's the only, like, you can't reverse not getting the stone.
The people who are permadeath, Loki, Gamora, Vision,
Heimdall.
And Heimdall. Those are, like, the four permadeaths right now, just because they were killed before Thanos snapped his fingers.
Yeah.
But also, what I do like, though, is the fact that they built you up with, like, they killed every single one of his children. They just gatted them all. And then fucking, like, Thor comes in, super pumped up, straight from Peter Dinklage, dwarf giant. And he just destroys his chest. And then Thanos is like, fuck you, bitch. And then that's it. Like, it's such a great build of, like, successes into this huge failure.
My was only 5 seconds left. Spider-Man dying is awesome.
But this does put a smile on my face.
And that's all right. Spoilers are over, everybody. It's safe.
The Russo brothers, they did a great job on this.
Fantastic job, guys. Congrats.
8 or 9 out of 10.
I would give this an 8 out of 10. The way that, like, look, if you've seen, like, 3 of the Marvel movies, just go see Infinity War. Like, just do it.
Infinity War? Definitely go see it. They do a lot of great things. There's a lot more character emotion that I thought was going to be in there, which I'm very happy for.
It is one of those things where I'm like, doesn't Ant-Man come out in, like, 2 months? And I'm like, that's going to be a breakneck kind of change.
I do want to bring up this one review that kind of made the rounds on the internet already that came out for Infinity War.
Okay.
And it made the rounds because the internet kind of destroyed this reviewer. And I don't have the full review. I'm just basing it off the headline because it's the reactions that are the greatest.
Okay.
And so the New Yorker put out a review for Infinity War, and they, like, tweeted out, and the tweet that accompanies the link is like, in Avengers Infinity War, characters aren't introduced, they just show up and their behavior is entirely defined by the template set for them in other movies.
Yes, this is the 19th film in a series, so thank you.
And then Avengers, and the title of the review, and this is by Richard Brody of The New Yorker, who everyone has now established that doesn't know how to review films. He headlines it, Avengers Infinity War reviewed. The latest Marvel movie is a 2.5 hour ad for all the previous Marvel movies.
Yes, this is the 19th film in... Like, what? I'm not watching Die Hard 2. Like, who's this guy? What?
No, yeah. Like, so, it's a very ridiculous way to review a film that is... The entire existence of it is because of the movies that preceded it. Plus the fact that, like, at this point, you definitely should know who these characters are just from, like, a... Even, like, just standing... to the side and not really watching too much of the films or even any of the films.
Plus, we mentioned it earlier, like, it's not an ad for all the films. Like, we just said you can probably skip Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and probably even Spider-Man. Like, you can skip most of these.
And so people on Twitter kind of took this part, like, one person said, I tuned into the series finale of Breaking Bad and I'm very confused. Who is Walt? Why should I care about Jesse? These characters are undeveloped and just show up out of nowhere.
Yeah, usually sequels kind of mention something that happened in the past. this ain't Halloween 3 where it's like an anthology and they just do whatever, right? Right? Right?
Yeah, it's, oh God, it's just like, here's a quote from the actual article, it looks like. Not only does Avengers Infinity War presume that viewers have seen all the preceding films in the Marvel series, but worse, it presumes that they've thought about them afterward. And that's like,
what?
It's what?
I'm confused. So, like, I see Captain America, and then afterwards, I'm like, that was okay. Is that how much afterthought he's thinking? Like, I usually don't give to film, or
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm super confused.
Yeah, it's a pretty, like, a lot of people are kind of like on the same page where it's like, this reviewer doesn't know what he's talking about.
And I can kind of see what he's saying, but I was like, you got a word that. When you say something that kind of inflammatory or whatever, like, you got to have it make sense.
Uh-huh.
All right, guys. Well, that does it for, you know, Davis and Milo show for Marvel.
Yeah. Episode 50 spectacular.
Yo, make sure you guys go out. Go see Captain Marvel. Go see Ant-Man. Go see Infinity War in theaters. Go see Black Panther if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. See Black Panther. That was a pretty good movie. Ryan Coogler did a good job.
You can see Black Panther and then leave that theater and then go straight into Infinity War. Like, it's still in theaters.
Do a double feature.
Exactly. You can probably see Infinity War and it'll probably still be playing by the time Ant-Man comes out.
Yeah. Go see Black Panther and then riding off the high hopes and the positive energy with how that Black Panther left you and how good you're feeling about the characters of Black Panther, go right into Infinity War. No break. Just go straight in. Don't look up anything. Just go see it. Because, oh boy, this one gets wacky.
Yeah. Milo, do you want to say that we have a Twitter?
Yes. So we do have a Twitter. I think that's about it. Davis, anything else that you want to say?
When are we watching? Can we just watch National Treasure so we can stop joking about it?
Ooh, I'm going to have to look at my schedule. I mean,
kind of missed the movie club. I want to get back to sharing films with each other.
Well, you know, I've been playing Tomb Raider, which is kind of like National Treasure. And
just put National Treasure on the background.
But I only have one TV and
play it on your phone.
I only have.
Okay, let's say you see it next week. If not, we're never going to talk about it. We'll just move on.
Sounds good.
You heard it here, everybody.
You heard it here. Spoilers.